What did you say?
Intimidation. In my mind, it was translating insecurity. God has not given us insecurity. So whatever, for whatever that's worth. Neither does he want us self-reliant. I think sometimes we swing one way or another. We're a little bit dramatic as emotional human beings in that either sometimes we are just a little too confident, or we can be on that other end of, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Not getting up. And I like what he said, if you heard my loud amen in the back, about if it's not honed in, hiding our talents. That's my candy stick right there. Talents, giftings, let's just say willingness. Hiding my willingness in the closet until I feel like I'm at a comfortable place where, okay, God, now I'm comfortable enough for you to use me that if something goes wrong, I won't be too embarrassed. So anyways, that's that. Brother Kendrick, if you'll turn to, just real quick, 2 Corinthians 12:9, you all could quote this. This is Paul talking about, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The NLT translate, each time he said, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time this is what the Lord said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. I think that nobody wants to think of themselves as a controlling person, or so I like to use the term, I am a organized person. Or sometimes I am a little OCD. On our vacation this weekend, I went grocery shopping with my mother and my sister, and I said, I'm sorry, before we go into the grocery store, I have to tell you, I'm going to blame this on the pregnancy, but you're going to have to do this my way. There's many things I can relinquish and we can just do, and I'm fine and I'm flexible. Grocery shopping is not one of them. I have a system. I have to start in the produce section. I have to then go to the meat and the dairy. Then I work the inner aisles of the store and then get bread on the way out. It's weird. It's how I have to do it. And it's like right now so ingrained in me that I felt like I was getting anxiety, imagining going from one side of the store to get the eggs. And then let's go over here. And oh, we need the pasta over there. I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't do it. That's magnified right now, obviously. But I wouldn't say that I am controlling per se. Maybe you can't relate to me. Maybe you're okay with your life being complete chaos and not being, I won't say in control, but not being organized or not having a routine. Maybe you're okay with that and you thrive on that. That is not me. And whether you are okay with that or whether you're more like me and you like to have specific order, there's always a good, healthy element that God brings into our life of weakness. And I'm not talking about, you know, oftentimes we think of, you know, his strength is perfect in our weakness, and when we wait on the Lord and we relate that to different trials and hardships in life. And that's not what I'm referring to tonight as much as I am just weakness, the inability to do something on your own through your own strength. And I want to say it was about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, my husband started teaching more on grace and trusting God's grace. And I would pray that way, you know, God, I'm going to trust your grace. But I really had very little understanding of what that meant. Because you can mentally comprehend something and completely not understand it till you experience it, till you go through it. And you can walk through a situation and feel like, I'm just trusting the grace of God. I'm just going to trust the grace of God. I'm going to just trust the grace of God. And then it happens and you are 100%, maybe just me, 100% back into control mode of, okay, God, I'm waiting for your grace to kick in. I'm waiting for your grace to kick in. But at the same time, you're just kind of trying to make it happen. Just kind of trying to do it, trying to manage it. That's my word. Trying to organize it, plan it out. Just helping the Lord along a little bit. And completely missed that window. I feel like that's how it was. Birthing's on my mind a lot right now, so if you just bear with me in this story. I felt like that's how it was with Hadley. Nick talked a couple weeks ago about how we had a plan, and we really did. We were on top of it. Every single day, we were doing everything we were supposed to do. We had it all lined out. We were going to, you know, I'm determined. This is how it's going to happen. And I prayed, God, and my husband said, Kaylee, you got to trust the grace of God. I'm doing that. I'm trusting his grace. He's going to do this for me because this is what I want. And everything went 100% the opposite direction of what we had in mind. And there was part of me that felt like a failure. And then there was part of me that felt like, well, God, where was that grace at? Where were you, where was your grace working in this situation? I just didn't have an understanding of what that meant. Then if I can give you one more carnal analogy of his grace in my life, then we had the baby, life changed, we moved, we decided, you know, hey, we want to live past 35, let's get healthier. So my husband took me to this CrossFit gym where the big burly men growl and do things. And I thought, I cannot do that. Are you kidding me? I am going to die. I will die. And I thought that like through the first workout, I think I did that one time. And then there was another one. And I just knew I'm not going to make it through this. This is going to kill me. And I kept going back to that silly thing about God's grace. And I thought, this is so silly. This is so like, oh God, give me your grace so I can work out at the gym. Like really, is he up there chuckling at me right now? But I began to pray that way and I would make it through. And I know that seems so small and so silly to you, but it is very personal to me because he got me through those moments of near-death experiences. Okay. There was a time I was on the floor trying to breathe and just crying. And the coach is saying, Kaylee, you need to stop. You need to slow down. You need to do that. And I just was, Jesus, Jesus. It's something small. It's something stupid. But to me, that was one of, I would have to say, if there's the first time that I knew the grace of God was at work in my life, it was that he got me through that. And I actually kept going. He kept going with me. And it gave me a little bit of better understanding. Got through that season of life. Here I am. Sometimes it's little things, sometimes it's big things, but I guess I'm mostly referring to the little things that are not, they're not out of control, they're not wild, they're not, you know, you can look at situations, other people's stories, and you can say, okay, my life is not that bad. I guess to me, it's more the stresses, the everyday stresses in life that you should be able to, in your mind, when you have a good plan or you get your thoughts organized or you sit down and you write out this and that, you should be able to manipulate that situation. You should, maybe manipulate's not the right word, but you should be able to work your way through it. And the days when you feel like, you know what, I don't know why, and I've said this a lot lately, I don't know why I can't seem just to get ahead of it. That's an element of just, it's weakness. It's admitting your weakness. And it's a place of real vulnerability. I think that there's this grand scale that we see in our mind of hardships and desperate situations where there's a need of a miracle, or there's a need of the divine intervention of God. Maybe it's not, you know, like being healed from cancer, but maybe it's just a dramatic situation where there's such a divine intervention that people can turn and say, it's like, it's for others to say, God did that. God brought you through. Or for you to be able to tell others, this happened. And this is how God fixed it. This is how God carried us through that. I believe that there's those big dramatic things in life that happen that way. And it's for the glorifying of God. It's a testimony to reach out to others, for them to acknowledge his existence. You know, how many times have you heard of a situation? Actually, the sister that taught at Ladies' Conference this year talked about her bout with cancer and how every day she had this magnitude of faith that God was going to heal her. And with everything that would come up that would make the situation a little scarier, a little stronger, and would cause one to doubt, she would say, "Oh, I know what you're going to do. You just need scientific proof. Oh, I know what you're going to do. They're going to do that exploratory surgery because you need the doctors to see there's no cancer there." And that's how, you know, there are situations like that where that is the reality. God does things so that others will know his power and his strength. But then there's just this little weaknesses that we have that oftentimes we don't talk to people about that are really have nothing to do with the rest of the world. It really has everything to do with our relationship with Jesus. And in our weakness, him wanting to prove to Kaylee Johnstone, "I am strong and I can be strong through you. And in this one area, if you will trust the sufficiency of my grace and walk in it and know that it's okay to relinquish, it's okay to step back and take your hands off the situation, I want to prove to you." And it becomes so intimate. It's in those times of your life that you will find yourself being, it's like that's his way of drawing you unto him. That's his way of pulling you closer and having a greater understanding of who he is and who he wants to be to you. I have just one more scripture to turn to. Brother Kendrick, I'm going to read Isaiah 40. 28 through 31, first in the KJV and then in the NLT. Excuse me while I scroll there. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The NLT says it like this: "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." We grow weary and we faint often just because we're relying on our own abilities and our own strength. That's probably one of my biggest downfalls right there that I would say is constantly thinking I can fix it or I can do it. And Paul says, what did he say in 2 Corinthians? "Therefore, I will glory in my infirmities." I don't glory in my weakness. It's hard to be weak. It's hard to be, I mean, obviously, we don't all have it all together, and we know that, and we say that. But the moment we actually feel it, it rubs our pride the wrong way. And I believe that right now, maybe you're not here, but in this season, I'm in a season of life right now where we have had like one of the busiest summers. I know that because I've told him several times. in the 10 years, it'll be 10 years in April that we've been married. This has been one of the busiest summers of our life. Throw in some other stuff, you know, like another baby and a 3-year-old and, you know, all these other different things. Maybe you're not there. Maybe your life is okay right now. But in the season that I'm at right now, I'm finding myself in a constant state of weakness. And I honestly don't like it. I don't. But I feel like the Lord is prompting me to embrace that. Not for a demonstration of his power in the city of Puyallup. Thousands may not be won by this. But for our relationship, for the intimacy it brings between me and the Lord, or you and the Lord, when you learn to let go and to relinquish and to really trust and exercise, let the grace of God be exercised in your life, and you know that, because then you can be in a place where you can say, that wasn't me. I can't do this. I'm not doing this. This is not me doing this. This is Jesus. This is Jesus at work in my life. This is his grace and his strength. And it's, I really love the Amplified said, it's not just made perfect, it's made complete. This is the grace of God being fulfilled and complete in my life right now. And that's just, that brings you to an amazing place of love. You know, your reliance on someone else and him working through you, that brings you to an amazing place of love and dependency on him. That's it. I'll close it. Okay. Father, we're thankful to you for your love and your grace, your loving kindness towards us. We're so thankful for your faithfulness, Jesus. Father, let our hearts be sensitive to you in every area of our life as you draw us closer to you. Let our hearts be sensitive to your spirit at work, yielding all our frustrations to you, Jesus. Relying only on your grace and your strength. Father, I pray that you would go with us through this week, that we would feel you ever present and ever near us, that we would feel your love and your peace in our homes surrounding us throughout the day, that you would be with us, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're dismissed.